Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, hour number two, coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Wednesday around the country. It's Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. You can find our poll question pertaining to Klay Thompson. And if you were running the Warriors, would you let him suit up? You know he's going to try to fight his way into the lineup, but you also know he's very compromised. You saw him limping around at the end of game two and even going through the tunnel to meet his teammates after the win, after Iguodala stuck the three. So game three of the NBA Finals at Oracle tonight, 9 Eastern. The spread's gone from 6 to 5 to 4.5. So obviously that what that means basically is that Vegas is beginning to really get the sense that, number one, Klay's even worse than people thought or people think, or he's not going to play because they've adjusted that. The Sharps, you know, you're not going to see a line dip almost 2 points in a day if there's not something up there. So, you know, listen, it's go time. It's go time for Kawhi. I think Kawhi's going to hit 40 tonight. I really do. And
it would be about time because we've been waiting for Kawhi to have that finals game. And he hasn't had it yet because they've done such a good job defensively against him. A big part of that, Klay Thompson.
Yep. I do think, you know, and this is proven out statistically, I would imagine Kyle Lowry plays well tonight. He's better on the road. Just look at his playoff splits for whatever reason. And by the way, the whole Kyle Lowry playoff narrative is it's very lazy at this point. He's done a lot to flip that, you know, and you know, but there is still a discrepancy. His road production, which is much better than his home production.
Yep.
I would think he plays well. Can you get, you know, 18, 19, 20 from Siakam? Can you get a couple of threes from Gasol? Raptors are let me ask you this. If Klay doesn't play, are the Raptors supposed to win?
Yes, they definitely are supposed to win because what hurts the Golden State Warriors so much is not being able to be athletically superior to another team. And so when you have a guy like Klay, who is one of the better athletes on that squad, not being able to be back in transition, and now you got to have someone who's inexperienced in that, that's where the Raptors, as we saw in game one, took advantage of the Golden State Warriors. They beat them in transition. And so if they're down one of the best defenders in the NBA, you got to believe that Toronto Raptors are going to find ways, both in transition and in the half court, to take advantage of his absence.
I would agree. By the way, I just want to hit this. I know I teased at the end of last hour, after inbounds, out of bounds, Jonathan Scope of the Twins, who are one of three teams in Major League Baseball to have over 100 plus 100 or more run differential. The Astros have it. The Yankees have it. That's the Astros, the Dodgers, the Yankees are knocking on the door. Yankees aren't there yet. But he got a little bit hung up. Obviously, things happen. Not a big deal. He's a pro athlete. Things come up. So we'll get him up at some point, either later this week or next week. We do have AJ Hinch coming up next, the terrific manager for the Houston Astros. They have 100, and they're plus 107 run differential. And the Twins, who seemingly hit 3, 4, 5 bombs every night. Scope is in the middle of that as well. He's got 11 or 12 as a second baseman. The Twins are only one run differential behind them. So, obviously, Twins have a good season. We'll catch up with Jonathan a little bit later. I saw this, you know, well, I heard this coming in. I couldn't wait to talk about it. I don't know that we're going to devote a ton of time to it. But the NCAA, let's be honest, which rarely does anything right.
You're right.
I mean, they're a bunch of
clowns. They're trying. They are trying lately. They are trying. Yeah. They're trying. But they still haven't executed. I hear what you're saying. They haven't executed anything, right?
Yeah. I mean, I know that for the most part, society's bent to trend to the negative anyway. It's like the low-hanging fruit. People, I've always used the expression, people are more predisposed to wake up and be miserable, unfortunately, than to wake up and be happy. So even if the NCAA did 5 good things, we would fixate on the one bad thing.
That's exactly right.
The NCAA, to your point, I say that in an endearing way. I mean, I guess if you can't call somebody a clown in an endearing way, maybe I shouldn't call them clowns. But I feel like they're getting their act together a little bit. And as Tiki said, and I think this is a good step in the right direction, beginning next season, the men's 3-point line in college will extend to the international distance.
That's smart.
Love it. Yeah. I love it for a multitude of reasons. Yeah. What's your first reaction? You like it, obviously?
Well, I like it because it's been too easy for these college kids to shoot from basically the top of the key. It's too easy of a shot for them. So move it back, where interestingly, a lot of them want to take the shot anyways because they want to impress themselves to NBA scouts. Yeah, I can make three-pointers, and I can make it from three or four feet behind the college line. So guys are doing that anyways. So I think it made perfect sense for them to extend it to the international line. Obviously, sometimes when you see that international line, it's like a funky design, like the angle is weird. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a smart move by the NCAA.
Listen, it's going to open up the game. And I think what's going to happen, there'll be a few positive repercussions from this. You go from 20 feet 9 inches to 22 and almost two, not quite 2 inches, about an inch and three quarters. So it's about 2 feet distance here, about a foot and a half distance, a difference from what it used to be to what it will be. And by the way, they'll implement this season.
Yeah.
Now, I was reading for Division II, not that, we talk about that, but so everybody's on the same page. Division II and Division III, and I would imagine NAIA as well, probably JUCO, for cost reasons, they will actually kick that down the road an extra year or two because, let's face it, if you are, Villanova or Virginia or, Arizona or Duke, you have money coming out of every pocket. All you do is just realign the court with the different three. But the schools with no money, it's a bit more problematic. So Division I will do it next year. And I think what's going to happen, number one, this is the basic part. The further you are, everybody is away from the rim, the more freedom there is in the middle of the court, which should, in theory, create some more dribble drive, which is fun, and it's an enticing part of the game. But I think because now it goes from, a really makeable shot, and I do believe that foot and a half changes the dynamic enough that fewer players will have the green light from their coaches, which means we'll get more efficiency, not less.
Well, you also are going to get less big men trying to take that shot. Like think of Zion Williamson and all the three-pointers that he took last year. Now, like, he's not inefficient or not ineffective, I should say, at taking three-pointers, but if it's 2 feet back from where it is, he's likely not taking that shot as frequently. And so not that it changes Duke's game plan that much, but it does change a little bit about how we view some of these players, right? Because we look at them as college, two-way type players, like a big man who can get in the, who's athletic as hell and is crashing the boards and he's, effective in the paint. And he can also shoot three-pointers. It's skewed a little bit. He's really just taking a jump shot in the NBA, which would be a mid-range jump shot in a lot of cases. So I think it changes how we're going to view some of these big men who have stepped behind the three-point line in college. We used to never see that.
Here's one thing I am worried about, though. And, you walk into, now my little guy's too young to play basketball in a league. But I would imagine, I can already see it because I just see what he does in the basement with a makeshift, a basket or a makeshift. We're on vacations. He's throwing it in the trash can. He makes everything a basket, which is awesome. And I know that as he gets older, as most kids do, they're going to just continue to gravitate to the three-point shot.
Yep.
They're not going to walk at a gym and do a lefty layup and work on both hands and dribbles and pump fakes and foul. No, I'm going to say, let me hoist a 22-footer. And I just wonder, I think at the higher levels we'll be fine, but I wonder over time if there's going to be a further erosion of not so much mid-range skill, but overall skill, because kids will now still walk in the gym, and to get it that extra foot and a half, they're going to have to kind of heave it rather than have a real mechanical, mechanical
shot. But here's
the
thing. There's a reason that the mid-range jumper is the most ineffective shot.
Is there a reason?
I think there is. There is a reason.
Well, because it's worse. Just basically you take more threes, you get more points. Layups are threes.
That, but also if you are 6'4", and you're taking a shot, just inside the three-point, a couple feet inside the three-point arc and on the elbow, there's big guys coming out to run at you, right? And if you're 6'4", that shot's ineffective and it's contested. It's always contested. Well, if you're 6'4" and you're way out, 25 feet, it's less of a contest from big men.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we look at the mid range and say, man, that's a great shot, is because of guys like KD, who were so
and
tall.
Kawhi.
And Kawhi. Who were, cause Kawhi
and Clay.
Got,
Clay's pretty good at that,
Clay,
too.
Well, because Kawhi and Clay, even though they're not 7 feet, they got long-ass arms.
Yep.
Right? And so when they get into that mid-range there, the same place I'm talking about, in the elbow, just inside the three-point line, mm-hmm. they can shoot over whoever's mm-hmm. guarding them.
Yeah.
Right?
But, Carmelo was very
good
at that, too.
But if you're not that big, if you're not that 6'6 or 6'8 or yeah. 7 feet or have super long arms, that's a tough shot. So you're actually better off taking a three-pointer. It's just
yeah,
less
I'm
of a
sure
contest.
I'm not agreeing with that.
That's how I look at
no,
it.
No, I got you. I don't know if I see it that way.
Only because when I look at KD yeah. takes that shot more than any shot that he attempts in basketball. Like, if you watch Kevin Durant, you watch all of his shot attempts.
Well, the shot we got hurt.
I know.
Remember the play that
yeah,
he got hurt?
That's right. But it's all
it
the same
mid-range
shot.
J.
It's all the shot that you're not supposed that you're not supposed to take. Right?
Yeah, I mean, what you say, I obviously can't prove that it's wrong. I'm just of the mindset that if you have a good stroke mm-hmm. and you know mm-hmm. you're 13, 14, whether it's baseline, foul line, extended, anyway, let it go. I mean, like if you're a good shooter, like Isaiah Thomas, and that, like I'm going back and not the current, the old Isaiah yeah. Thomas, those guards back in the day, you know, Mark Price, John Stockton, let it go. If you can shoot, let it go. You know,
but not everybody can make it as easy as some of these other guys make it look.
Yeah. The committee cited the following rationale for extending the line. Then we'll get a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get with A.J. Hinch, the Astro skipper here on Tiki and Tierney. Making the lane more available for dribble drive and dribble plays from the perimeter. We touched on that. Slowing the trend of the three-point shot becoming too prevalent. Now, this ties into, and I really think this is an important aspect of it. When it's 20 feet, 9 inches, college coaches aren't going to say, don't shoot that.
Yeah.
If it's almost 23, they're going to say, you're not allowed. This Joe can shoot it. Mike can shoot it. Antoine can shoot it. And whomever else can shoot it. The other six guys, you can't shoot it.
Yeah.
So I think that that's going to be good. And the other one that they point to, assisting in offensive spacing by requiring the defense to cover more of the court, which could conceivably lead to some more backdoor action, some rim action, some nice, maybe really where good passing will be rewarded, which is nice.
Do you think this will potentially result in the NBA moving their three-point line back?
I don't know. Well, you know, the big three has a four-point shot. I know that sounds like crazy. Would it stun me if they kick it back an extra 6 inches at some point? Maybe. But then it would just – then if they do that, they're going to have to widen the court, as I've said for years. It can't be 54 feet
yeah.
and have it like 22 feet in the – I believe it would be 22 feet in from the corner.
Which is the easiest shot.
Correct. Right? And yeah. then balloon out to 26.
It's
got to be more equitable. I'd have to think they're open to it. Radical change, no. Slight tweak, maybe. Maybe we could see that. Maybe. All right, Teague, I know we'll see the Astros play in October ball. The Astros are terrific. A.J. Hinch, their skipper. Some injuries, though. Correa got hurt mm-hmm. again. He got a fractured rib getting a massage.
Yeah, you're going to have to explain that one.
I thought Kraft said don't go to that place. No, just kidding. That was not good. A.J. Hinch next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Here on this Wednesday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. A little respite from the hoops, obviously. NBA Finals front and center. To get a chance to talk to the manager of one of the best teams in baseball, you certainly say, yeah, let's do it. The Astros are flying high. What else is new? 42-20. And I've got a 10-game cushion in the West. Six straight wins, I believe it is. 8 of 10. So and they are really banged up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of their best. Springer got hurt. Correa just got hurt with the massage. I mean, Altuve, I believe, had a setback. And here they are. They're still rolling. And their manager's keeping them afloat. At least partially, his name is A.J. Hinch, and he's back with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Skip, how you feeling today, buddy? What's happening?
Well, I feel good, especially after you walking through our last few weeks. We're winning games, and this is my favorite part of your intro, so I'm doing great.
Yeah, I mean, how the heck are you guys winning? I mean, I know you have depth. I know Bregman's, you know, taking a step for, and Michael Brantley was a very good pickup as the lefty. But, man, you guys are – you have all-stars really hurt. How are you keeping this together?
Well, we've got good players, and that's always important. We have a good vibe, you know, and I think it's funny. You know, when you're in baseball long enough, you'll hear about teams that talk about their depth, and you'll hear from players that are a little disgruntled in AAA because they're stuck behind guys like Springer and Altuve and Correa, and then all of a sudden opportunity knocks and our guys are stepping up. And then we've got some guys that have been here before, Tony Kemp, Derek Fisher, Miles Straw, that are up now. We've got some that are getting opportunity to play every day. We've kind of crushed in the minors over the last few years, and it's showing that these guys can play up at the big league level. And yes, they're replacing some notable names and all-stars, but it's like their time to shine, and they're getting opportunities to play every day. But the most important thing we have is those injuries have hit us hard on the position player side.
Yep.
But we can pitch.
Yeah,
you can.
And we roll some really good pitchers out there. We win the games. We have the leads, and that's kind of bringing our consistency all together.
Yeah, is that more than half the battle? You know, we always talk about offense, defense, etc. Whatever sport you're talking about, is that more than half the battle though in baseball? Because as you alluded to,
well, you can be out of a game in a heartbeat if you don't have pitching.
Yeah.
It's amazing when the pitcher keeps you in the game, you can manufacture some runs, you get a lead, turn over to specialists nowadays in the back end of the bullpen, and we walk away with a lot of wins. And then on the flip side of it, when you get the lead, we have Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, Wade Miley's been a great sign.
Yeah.
Signed a 1-year deal, and he's pitched tremendously well. And then, you know, Brad Peacock is not an unknown because he's been with us for the last couple of years. He got a World Series save. He started 20-plus games a couple of years ago. Went to the bullpen last year, and he's got a close to a 3 ERA. He'll start tonight in Seattle. So, you know, we've just got a good team. We say that anybody can help us any given night. We give out a player of the game and a pitcher of the game. They have a robe. The guys have a little culture chemistry thing in the clubhouse after every game, and it's somebody different every night when we win, and it's good to feel that. That anybody can help you mentality.
Hey, listen, you know this. I mean, you played, you caught, you played at Stanford, you grinded. Baseball's tough, man. I mean, you can look up and you can be 2 for 27 real fast, and you can be at the ballpark for 9 hours any given day. You may as well have some fun. It seems like we always say, you know, make the Bryce Harper said years ago, make baseball fun again. It seems like the younger generation, whether it's the WWE belts that they hand out or the robes that you make, it just seems like there's a different energy, and youth has taken over, which is great. It seems like the clubhouse is a more vibrant place than it used to be.
Yeah, and it needs to be, and I think that has happened over the last decade or more, where some personalities start to come out. It is a grind to play every single day. You know, I joke with a lot of my friends in Houston. I'm like, you know, you guys turn the TV on one day, we're in Seattle, and the next day we're in Anaheim, and that's, they're on the West Coast, and you don't realize that's a 3.5-hour flight in between.
Yeah.
Like, it's far.
Oh, yeah.
And we travel probably, you know, second or third most in all of baseball, and from a mileage standpoint. But it's funny. You know, baseball will lead you to a good day or a bad day every single day. And it's funny. We won 10 games in a row twice this year. And on that 11th game where we lost, I will kind of be a grump going home, and my wife will be like, hey, what's the matter? And I'm like, I still hate losing.
Wow, that's
like the winning and losing still drives you every single day in baseball. So that kind of spills over into our clubhouse, and we expect to win.
It's infectious, and obviously the championship culture, 2017 World Series. We're talking to, excuse me, AJ Hinch, the manager of the Astros, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Now, Skip, I know you probably heard this a lot about the SI cover from June of 2014, and George Springer's on the cover, and it's like, this is going to be your World Series champ, and it actually happened. But the gist of that article was about your minor leagues and your farm system, and you just alluded to it earlier. It's still growing strong. What goes into building that?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot, and there's a lot of people that work to do it, and they're kind of behind the curtain. They don't get a lot of love in the front office departments, whether it's the scouting department, the player development department, the analytical group, research and development. There's a couple hundred employees, you know, on the business and baseball side of an organization that do different things. And when you acquire talent, you know, the draft is going on. I think the third day is today, so there's, you know, 50 rounds or whatever, and there's going to be a whole flood of new talent, and they're relative unknown names. And there's a lot of people that dive in. You know, when you look at our team that's made up right now, the draft is huge, but they all come from everywhere. During the spring, I'll stand somebody up and say, hey, when were you drafted? They'll say, oh, the 30th round. The 30th round is not supposed to produce any talent. And here's a big leaguer that's helping us win. And you know, or you look to right now, the fastest guy on our team is Miles Straw. I think he was taken in the 12th round. just as a untapped talent that can run and has a little bit of baseball skill. They develop him over the course of the last few years. He ended up on our playoff roster. Now he's batting ninth today and playing a secondary position, playing shortstop. So but some people have to be behind those decisions, and that's the scouts and the analytical people that drive that talent search that's never ending. And then once you have them, I think where baseball's gotten better in the last few years is tapping into technology and tapping into the numbers and the analytics to try to find the strengths of these guys and how they can be a part of the piece of the puzzle. And we've gotten pretty good at it. We continue to have good players that come up here. And, you know, you have to be bad for a few years to develop and stockpile those draft picks and stockpile that talent. But it gets a little harder when you don't draft at the top of the first round. But our guys have been able to find some hidden gems that are producing at the major league level.
Now, there's no question. You know, and listen, baseball, whether it's the metrics, whether it's the finding the hidden gems and then organizational development, there's a lot of great things about the game. I love baseball. But I got to tell you, Skip, one thing that I can't stand, I think it's utterly unfair. Somebody like Dallas Keuchel, you know, who you know well, mm-hmm. can you explain to me, and I know that his numbers, I know that his stuff has tailed off a bit. Trust me, I get that part. I know he's not quite the same guy who won the Cy Young, what was it, 4 years ago. But he's got a Cy Young, couple of gold gloves, couple of All-Star games, a World Series champion, a big game guy. How in the world, it's not like he's 38. How is this guy not signed? It's right. Terrible for the sport.
No, it's a miss by the industry because he can help a team win. You know, he's a winning pitcher. He's got some moxie to him. He's competitive. He's prepared. He can do some things that help you win. And the business of the game and kind of took over. And I don't know his particular situation other than I know he came out with an article a couple of weeks ago that, you know, he's talked about. He just felt like he wasn't getting the right offers and the right contract. And he's probably right because he can help you win. He's not, you know, past his prime or anything like that. He's right in the middle of where his career should be. And yet, you know, I think baseball sometimes can outsmart themselves as an industry. We can get into value and can this player produce the same results at a different value? And it becomes a little bit of a business assessment. Maybe that got him a little bit, but yep. He's going to sign pretty soon and he's going to jump in and he is going to be locked in. And I think he's going to help a playoff caliber team be really good. But he's exposed a little bit of the inefficiencies in our business with the draft pick and the, you know, type A, type B free agency stuff and the qualifying offer and all that comes with it. But it's unfortunate because our game is at our best when the best players are on the field and Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel and guys that have been passed over, need to be active and playing from day one, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it sounds like the right game plan. You know, we heard Commissioner Manfred say that there's going to be no more netting or new netting added in 2019. We saw this a week ago. I think it was just exactly a week ago in your stadium against the Cubs. A young girl got hit, and it was devastating. And you know, it was devastating for both sides of the dugouts here. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? I mean, how do you, it doesn't happen often enough to be a dire situation, but it should be extended. You have to agree with that, correct?
Yeah. Well, I think our game has always worked towards evolving, albeit at a slower pace, right? So whether it's rules on the field or, you know, when the netting got extended above the dugout, I remember there was a lot of people that were up in arms. Mm-hmm. I mean, I played in the big leagues for a little while. I stand in the dugout. I got hit, like, you know, about a month ago by a check swing in Minnesota. Like, it's not comfortable. We all know that. The ball gets on you quickly, whether you're an ex-athlete or whether you're a fan. And I believe MLB and I believe each organization, when they say that they're interested in player health, staff health, fan health, and safety. And so I know they're going to all look into it, and as they should. It's every time that happens, there's that feeling in your stomach, or there's that feeling that we're witnessing a tragedy, and so, you know, for the most part, we have to just pray that the people are okay, and then hope that baseball continues to nudge forward in the safety standards. But it happens fast. These guys are big and strong. They hit the ball really hard. You look at third base coaches now wearing helmets,
yeah.
and fans that are behind the net are extended. It's a real topic. I trust Major League Baseball is going to make the right changes when they can, and But I also understand the position that, Commissioner Manfred's in, where you're in midseason. It can't just snap your fingers and come home from a road trip and have, you know, have stadiums remodeled. It's just a very sensitive topic.
All right, AJ, before we let you go, just and we reference a few of these players over the course of our chat, Altuve, Springer, and Correa, who's back first and who are you most concerned about?
You know, they're kind of all trending around the same. I think Altuve is probably a tick ahead of these guys. They're gonna be pretty aggressive today. We're in Seattle. We have a night game.
Yep.
They're going to get on the field here in about an hour, and before all the rest of the team gets here. And Altuve is going to run the bases, and Springer and Diaz are going to hit and take a full, call it a spring training style defensive drill that we do. And that's working them towards, you know, doing more and more things. Altuve being on the bases is why I say that he's ahead of these guys, because those guys aren't running the bases yet. That is a good test. We're going to get home. We fly home tomorrow night. We have the weekend where we can assess them, and then I think any decision on them going out to play in a rehab assignment will be made the latter part of the weekend into next week. But I love the fact that we're even to that point right now. I mean, we thought we were going to miss these guys for a month and a half, and it looks like they're working their way back a touch sooner than that. That's a good sign. But I'm getting so tired of giving a daily medical update.
I can imagine.
I'm a way better manager than I am medic. So yeah, I would prefer to stay with the baseball. But they're doing well. We don't have a definitive timetable until we get home this weekend.
Gotcha. And it really is amazing because you look at the injured players that you guys have. The Yankees have been without Judge and Stanton. I mean, really, that's five of the best players in not just the American League and all the baseball.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing your thing, 42-20. Yanks have somehow weathered the storm. Some good baseball and some good. And by the way, those twins are pretty tough, huh?
Yeah, they are good. They're, you know, you could tell they were pretty good in the spring, and they made some additions. They took Marvin Gonzalez as a free agent from us. He was a big hero in our World Series team. And then Nelson Cruz signed. They've had some guys step forward.
Scope.
We've played them already. We're done with them. We don't play them. We play the Yankees in, I think, 2 weeks, and we'll be done with the Yankees. We'll be done with the. We're already done with the Twins for the season. We're done with the Red Sox already, so we're quickly being done with sort of the big heavy teams that have gotten off to a really good start. So that doesn't really bother me. And if Judge and Stanton want to take off the rest of this month until we're through New York, I'm cool with that too. But it's a shame when the best players on any team. I don't care if it's when Ohtani got hurt last year in Anaheim. That was a punch in the gut for baseball. Like I want our best guys to play, and they, even though they're tougher matchups, it stinks for baseball when these marquee names are on the shelf.
No doubt. A.J. Hinch, World Series champ 2017, skipper of the Astros, doing their thing early as we expect. Good chat. You know, we had you on years ago, and then you won a World Series. You kind of forgot about us. We always joke about it. You kind of big-timed us, A.J. You did.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where you guys went last year. We could only get to the ALCS without you. So I appreciate you helping me out this year.
You got it, man. Thanks a lot, Skip. Appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime.
That was a good report. Got the injuries, a little state of baseball, the Twins, got some of the big names for the Yankees in there. Just the thoughts on the draft, and it's a nice all-encompassing chat with a smart guy, Stanford educated. You know, he would bring good.
Been around. Didn't you get drafted? Act yourself. You got drafted
three times.
Twice out of high school, and then in college.
Twice
out of college.
Yeah, junior, senior. He went back for senior year, and he was a top five pick, right?
No, second round, third round, third round.
Was he third? I think he was a first round pick out of Stanford. I guess not.
Nope.
Okay. Did he play? He wouldn't have played with Mike Mussina for a year. Right?
Well, no, maybe. Mussina was.
Nah, I mean, how old's AJ at this point?
He graduated '96 from Stanford.
Yeah, and when did Moose get out?
I want to say 90.
That early?
Yeah, I think so.
Moose is six years older?
Yeah, he was in the majors in '92 with the Orioles.
All right, there you go. Enough of the rabbit hole. We got what we got, what we needed.
Best.
There you go. He's they got a good team, boy. That is no doubt in that. We got the update from Mac right now. Coming up after that, football at the 40s. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, some serious shade at his quarterback peers. He threw a dagger. I love what he said. We'll tell you what it is. We'll react to it. Football at the 40s after Rack right now. All right, football at the 40s here coming up. First, though, today's Power Rankings brought to you by OSDB. At osdbsports.com, you'll find sports stats and breaking news, personal information, all the stuff athletes have chosen to share with their fans. Don't miss a beat. Go to osdbsports.com, osdbsports.com, and we'll rank them top five baseball right now. The Astros, we just had on their skipper, A.J. Hinch. They're 42-20. They lead the West by 10 games, and they're 20-8 in the month of May, largely with a lot of reserves, a lot of their best players banged up, but a pretty favorable report on Correa, Springer, and Altuve. So the Astros, number one. The Dodgers, they keep hammering away, 43-19, first in the West. They've won seven straight. The Twins, we were supposed to have Jonathan Scope on previous hour. He got a little bit wrapped up, but he did call. We have now pushed him to 5 Eastern. We'll have him coming up there, hard-hitting second baseman. The Twins, 40-19 atop the Central. They've won 8 of 11. My Yankees, 38-21, first in the American League East, although they're just a pedestrian 3-3 in their last 6. And the Tampa Bay Rays, 35-23, so 12 over the break-even point. Second in the American League East. They've lost 4 straight after a 6-game winning streak. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So, the second baseman for the Twins, Jonathan Scope, next hour. You and I know that you asked AJ about this. It was a great question. You actually beat me to it about Rob Manfred saying that no change to the nettings at stadiums will occur this year based on the logistics. I want to circle back to that. You and I kick it around a little bit. We could do that in the third hour.
We will. Talking baseball, though, Jay Bruce just came over. Yep. Incidentally, before Andrew McCutchen got hurt, so it was serendipitous that he was here. It just went yard.
Yeah, he's a hitter.
And he already hit two yesterday. So they're paying big dividends already with the Jay Bruce trade in Philadelphia. They're still down to San Diego right now, 4-2.
He doesn't look like an athlete.
No,
at all. Know, but
big, bulky.
he's actually sneaky quick because he's a decent outfielder. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his home runs in Cincinnati, small ballpark, up and down with the Mets, a little bit banged up. But with the Indians, when they picked him up, he hit there. He hits. Yeah. He's going to hit bumps.
17 on the season already.
There you go. Right. You ready for a little football at the 40s? It's a good one today. You good?
Yep, let's hit it.
Let's go.
40-yard kick right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. He likes to manipulate you a bit. Don't think it's by accident. Tom Brady sends the Patriot fans into a little panic mode with his Instagram post here. Seemingly innocuous post. He just wrote with the caption, "Treat my first like my last and my last like my first." Yeah. So, of course, some people thought, wow, is he now telling us he's about to retire? No, he's not. He was just having a little fun on social media, as he is wont to do. He's actually sneaky savvy on social media.
That's what he does. Like, you know, what was it? Instagram? He first got on April 1st, and he made an April Fool's joke. I mean, that's what he does. But actually, I don't think he was trying to be, like, sneaky. I might be retiring. I think he was saying, I prepare the same way every time I go out, whether it's my first one or my last one.
Or he's a big Jay-Z fan. That goes back to his 2003 song.
Or he could be a big Jay-Z fan.
Who isn't a Jay-Z fan? I don't know if he likes that song, but I'm sure he's messing around a little bit.
I just don't see Tom Brady.
Yes, he could be. Who isn't a Jay-Z?
I just don't see him as a Jay-Z fan.
Why not?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Why? Because he looks like a J. Crew model? Like, you'd think he just has to listen to, like, rock or something?
No.
What are you stereotyping for?
I'm not. I'm just, I don't know. It just seems odd. Just listening to him talk. I don't know. It's just odd.
This is odd. This is bothering me. Listen, you know, even though he's destroyed my football life for 20 years as a Jets fan, I have profound respect for Tom Brady. But this one legitimately ticks me off. And it's not even my team.
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady's trying to steal the Tom Terrific nickname from former Mets legend Tom Seaver. People are losing their minds locally over this. The real Mets fans, like Mike Vaccaro, prominent sports writer for the Post. He's a Mets fan. Doesn't hide it. Columnist. I mean, people are going nuts. And I got to be honest with you. I think it's very insensitive on the part of Tom Brady. Tom Seaver cannot defend himself anymore. Yeah. In a court of law, he's just not of sound mind, as we know.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
He's got dementia right now.
He's not Tom Terrific. Tom Seaver's Tom Terrific.
It's a legal thing. It's a trademark thing.
It's weak.
Actually, the Mets should try to stop Tom Brady from doing this.
Can they?
I don't know.
Can they file for somebody else? I mean, they wouldn't be able to own it.
Maybe they have proxy because there's
I don't think so. Because he played for the Reds, too, though, and the White Sox. He won his 300th game for the White Sox against the Yankees in 85. Get a little nerdy with that. Pop up to the outfield. Don Baylor, I believe, made the final out. Left field. Look it up. YouTube. Tom Brady's got to bow out of this. I don't think he will, but I am not cool with this. Tom Seaver's Tom Terrific. Let's get it straight. Rodgers trying to get something straight. Clapping back at some of his peers who are getting on his beer drinking skills.
Yeah, I kind of said what I said. You know, if you want to go Scots, I feel pretty good about it. As far as those other guys, you know, for some of them, there's finally a talent where they can say they're better than me at.
That is phenomenal. Yeah,
just for context here, Aaron Rodgers with his girlfriend.
Yep.
I heard was pregnant. She can be pregnant, could she? Danica Patrick. I don't
possibility.
Know. Maybe I saw that on a tabloid. Maybe I saw that on. It happens. You know?
It does happen.
Practice happens.
Every goalie's picks a shutout, buddy.
At a Bucks game with Danica, he tried to chug a beer, and he got most of
his
it.
His old lineman was doing it first. Exactly. And he implored him to get up and do it.
It's just a little bit left. Yeah. And so Pat Mahomes and all these other guys just started crushing him on social media, and he got back at
it. But who else? Because I don't think he's directing that at Mahomes, because Mahomes just won the MVP.
No.
So who else crushed him that he is superior? Well, he's superior to almost every quarterback, but... Who else weighed in? I only saw Mahomes doing it at the game.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I don't. Samter has the story, but I don't know. But I was just reading the story. I think it's cool that he comes back at him because he's not that kind of guy.
No, he's not
at all.
I love that he likes Scotch too.
Me too. But he never comes back at people. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
He usually is. I don't know. Just like immune to social media, whatever.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't read his mentions.
I also love that. You know, again. Left, you got to finish it, man. Come on, you're a big deal. What are you, 6'2", 220? So finish the beer. There's 20,000 people staring at
maybe
you.
Maybe he was driving home, so he's being responsible.
Yeah, I guess. I'm sure he had an Uber. But here's the thing. I love how this is kind of humanizing the athletes.
Yes.
I love that Mahomes did it. Yeah. I love that Rodgers tried it.
Because he never does. It's funny. That's my point. No, Aaron Rodgers never wants to be human.
I like it. All around, pretty good. Interesting words from Myles Garrett, the outstanding defensive end from the Cleveland Browns. We'll be talking a lot of Browns this year, good or bad. We'll be talking probably more so good than bad, but whatever happens, they're going to be a story. Myles Garrett, an interesting take, basically says he's just flowing athletically in the new system now. No longer feels robotic.
It's more concise. Allows for a little bit more freedom within the scheme, but let you go out there and be a player and not feel like a robot. At times.
Now, is he getting on my guy, Greg Williams? Am I going to have to worry about this with the Jets?
Yeah, he is a little bit. Look, Greg Williams, this is a nuanced issue. Greg Williams likes gap control. Your job is to be in this gap. So don't get all cute and try to spin inside and give up the outside gap, your outside leverage. And so Greg Williams, who's now the defensive coordinator for the New York Jets, and told Myles Garrett, you got two moves. You can get upfield and maybe do a hand slap. Who knows? I don't know what the two moves
are. Swing,
were.
The little yeah, off whatever. Swim, whatever.
But
swim
move. But you got to keep your outside arm free and then leverage that way. And Myles Garrett doesn't want to be that. The best pass rushers have freedom to go whichever way.
But don't
rush
the best
inside.
Pass rushers also have multiple moves?
Reggie
White, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely. Right. But the defensive scheme that Greg Williams runs is all about gap integrity. So don't be cheating in a gap because you're going to screw up somebody else.
Like Mark Gastineau used to do.
Exactly right.
Historically did that.
Exactly right.
Put his teammates in a bad spot.
Yep.
Okay.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
A few other nuggets that we didn't get to. Gerald McCoy responded to Bruce Arians. Remember, when Bruce got the job, he basically said that he's not as disruptive as he once was.
That's tape watching. He never coached Gerald. Gerald doesn't know Bruce. I mean,
it is what it is. But McCoy said, I know who I am, basically saying he still has it. Okay. The Bills are turning to Jim Kelly. I guess it was in the last month or so, Jim Kelly got great news on his latest scans for cancer. He's cancer-free, which is great. The Bills are turning to Jim Kelly for advice on Josh Allen, which makes all the sense in the world.
No doubt.
Two guys with big arms. Let Jim Kelly get around them. Can't be bad for Josh.
And he wants to be around the team, and it's his identity in still so many ways. Absolutely. The other one that we miss is Tony Dungy doesn't like the 18-game season because he says there's the injury issue, and he thinks that less games make it more intriguing. If it's only two more, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the economics of it that I think bother players and the NFLPA. What does it do for the economics for the actual guys who are playing now? More games where they have higher risk of injury.
Yeah.
That's the offset.
Adrian Peterson also said he's going to go for 2,000 yards this season.
Not.
In Nintendo, I mean, or whatever he's going to play. There's no way. Come on. Anyway, that's... I mean, come on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.